Hey, it's Mike Salk here. I want to thank you for listening to the Brock and Salk podcast. This episode is brought to you by Famous Dave's. That's America's favorite barbecue. To find a Famous Dave's near you, go to famousdaves.com.
Get in the freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Power through the Alaska Airlines studio.
On Seattle Sports.
We're going to do you on the interview.
Don't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
Hey, hi. Hello, everybody. Brock and Salk Show, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com, Seattle Sports app, and all the podcast platforms, of course. I'm reading, just sort of like following along here as the Padres and Dodgers are doing battle again today. Game two of the Seoul series, second game in Seoul, Korea. By the way, a city that I would love to go to at some point. I don't even really know why, other than it just looks cool. And I would like to just visit it and experience it and kind of just get a sense of what Seoul is. I've been to Tokyo. Tokyo was awesome. It's the only place I've really been in Asia. And I'd really like to go to Seoul. In any event, not the story you need this morning. San Diego up 12-9. They beat the heck out of Yamamoto, who in his first major league start went a grand total of one inning and gave up five earned runs. He got shelled by this Padres team that is kind of on fire here early in the season. But it is surreal seeing Shohei Ohtani playing in this game. It's surreal,
right?
He's 1-for-4. He drove in a run with a sac fly that was very nearly a home run, but instead ended up being just a sacrifice fly. It's bizarre seeing him play in the game, what with him being the center of one of the most bizarre, crazy stories that we've seen in a while. And my guess is, and there's a lot of guessing in a story like this, my guess is it's going to get crazier before it gets worked out. Gut feeling. Because for the most part, you've only got a couple of people really working on the story right now. Right. So Tisha Thompson from ESPN, and we're going to speak with her at 8:30 this morning. Looking forward to it. She's got a really interesting resume. She's not somebody I've spoken to or know a lot about, but just looking at her resume, I mean, she's a fifth generation reporter. She's been in D.C. She's done political reporting, and she was all over a lot of the stuff that went down in the commander's front office and the workplace culture there. So, yeah, she should be pretty interesting. We'll speak to her at 8:30 this morning.
8 o'clock this morning.
I'm sorry. Yes, 8 o'clock this morning.
Yeah,
let's get it right. 8 o'clock this morning. Sorry about that. It was originally 8:30. It had to be changed. But the but you haven't seen the all of the investigative reporters out there who are, I'm sure, going to swarm onto this story. What happens when the Fenruwatas get onto this and some of the other people that have really broken a ton of news over the years? And it's not just that one would be better than you, just the sheer number. And they all start using their contacts and they all start digging into baseball.
And people start being threatened some other legal things that are maybe involved.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this thing gets worse before it gets better. At the very least, gets messier. So if you didn't follow it or maybe couldn't understand all of it yesterday, here's how I think I understand it. So he's got his interpreter. His name is Ipe, right?
So, yeah, Ipe. I've heard it said both ways.
So okay.
Positive.
All right, we're going to go with Ipe for now. So Ipe is thoroughly, essentially, done. He's done essentially one of three things. Either, one, he stole a tremendous amount of money from his friend. A tremendous amount of money, right? $4.5 million. So for those who don't know Ipe's story, he grew up, I believe, in Southern California, speaks both English and Japanese. He, I think, originally got into baseball as Hideki Okajima's interpreter with the Red Sox in like 2007, 2008. So I was probably around him in that clubhouse in 2007, though I would confess that I don't remember him. And then kind of went to Tokyo for a while, and that's where he met Shohei. Shohei brought him to LA to work with the Angels with him because they got close there. He trusted him. He brought him here to be his personal interpreter. And then he followed him from the Angels to the Dodgers this offseason. So they're really close, really close friends. I was reading the CBS story on it. And there's a quote in here from Angels, former Angels first baseman Jared Walsh, who said a couple of years ago, they've transcended friendship into brotherhood. Truly. It sounds dumb, but it's true. Brotherhood.
Yeah.
So the idea that while that's going on, he was behind his back stealing from him, that's what Shohei claims. And it's possible. It really is, right? I'm trying to think about the way baseball players might handle this, and a guy like Shohei maybe doesn't want to be bothered with anything. You got to have somebody you can trust. I've said this before, and it's a lousy, lousy part of the game, and I think my understanding is that a lot of this is going away. But when I first started covering baseball in 2006, 2007, so what, close to 20 years ago, there was a sense that, and this is a generality, not that every player did this, but that a lot of players would get married essentially for two reasons. One, to have children and have somebody to take care of those children. And two, to have a personal assistant, somebody that they trusted. And it did not stop them, many of them, from finding other women to find other activities to handle throughout the rest of the league as they were traveling all those times during the year. Not true of every baseball player, but not uncommon in the league at that time. As I said, my understanding is that's changed. But the idea of having somebody that you trust implicitly to take care of all of the stuff that you don't want to deal with as a baseball player, I don't think that part has gone away. So it wouldn't shock me if a guy like this had access to Shohei's, you know, bank account numbers and was able to wire stuff, and Shohei never checked the thing. He got enough money, and the thing is just, it's just going. Probably got to have some checks and balances there. You would think you would have an accountant. And so that's the only reason I think, okay, maybe it's plausible that, and that's why the story changed. Justin, you were mentioning that earlier, right? That the story changed. It's like, oh yeah, no, we'll do an interview. Actually, hold on a second. He stole from me.
Well, for anyone that might not know, you didn't mention what the original story was.
Sorry, you're right. The original story was that...
That his interpreter racked up a $4.5 million gambling debt and Shohei paid it for him.
Right.
Yeah, and a rep for Ohtani went on record saying that Ohtani transferred that money.
Right.
And they had him do, the interpreter do a sit-down interview with ESPN to say, I did this.
Yes.
And then before it aired, all of a sudden they said, nope, never mind, he stole this money.
And okay. during that interview with ESPN, the interpreter said that Ohtani did it so I would never do it again.
Right.
I felt that bad about it.
Right.
Ohtani did not feel bad for me. I messed up.
Right.
I'm never doing it again. I learned my lesson.
$4.5 million, a lot of debt
and,
to cover.
Oh, and it's at least
$4.5 million. So we have now we have two scenarios that are possible. One, the kid ran up a huge debt and Shohei paid it. Not impossible. Seems pretty unlikely. Two, he ran up a huge debt and then used Shohei's money to pay for it without telling Shohei, and that's the story that, you know, Ohtani is now going with. And that one, I think, actually has a lot of likelihood. I think that one's possible, except for the way it came out, which is super sketchy, right? As you just said, changing your story at the last minute to that is a little weird. Certainly that's going to raise some eyebrows and some suspicion. Although I think that like I could write that narrative and that script in my head, it's hard to add in the idea that it also involves the fact that he changes his mind last minute on how he wants to handle this and what happened. So that leads everybody with a pulse and brainwaves to the third possibility, which is, like a lot of people, he's been used as a fall guy, that he's the go-between. You can't have Shohei Ohtani's name on $4.5 million worth of bets. So what do? You run it through your good friend, your interpreter, and it's all under his name because nobody pays any attention to Ipe.
And yeah, and now he's the thief and Ohtani's the victim.
At the very end of it, that's the fall guy deal, right? But the reality of it would be that Shohei was the one actually with a gambling problem who's placing all of these bets and using his guy to do all of it, whether the guy's doing it wittingly or unwittingly, who knows? But Shohei's the master puppeteer here pulling all the strings. I mean, that one sure sounds likely. It sure sounds plausible. And that's what makes it surreal, knowing that he's out there just playing baseball today in Seoul, South Korea, 6,000 miles or so away from where the rest of this whole thing is going down. It's crazy. It's a crazy story. And now we'll add a couple more parts to it. And that is, what if it's more than just gambling? Not that gambling in and of itself isn't crazy, but what if it's more than that? What if we've, I mean, generally stories like gambling seem to come with other things, and none of those have come out yet, but we're going to find out. So I don't know. I found this whole story to be absolutely fascinating. $4.5 million is no joke. You have to ask whether or not it involved baseball, right? He has said so far no, but we'll find out. Is this the dark side of Shohei? We've seen it with some of the other greats like him, Tiger, Jordan, right? Who have something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. Is this guy, as I said, is he the fall guy? Will it come out later that they've been compromised by, you know, organized crime or something along those lines? But who the heck knows where this story is going to go? And then last one here, do we think that there have been rumblings? Is it possible that there are people in the game who had heard stories about this, didn't know exactly what was going on, but maybe knew that there was something around Shohei that was not quite up to snuff? Could that be the reason the Mariners didn't bid on him the second time around? I'm not saying it is, but could it be? Sure. Like, we're going to find out, I would guess, over the course of the next few weeks, exactly what's going on here. I'll also say that as gambling becomes more normalized in society, these stories could absolutely become more common, and the public will largely not worry about it. As we've seen, Tim Donaghy, that story just eventually goes away. Like, okay, you just got an NBA ref fixing games, no big deal. Eh, go away. Nothing. Don't worry about it. Move on. So, was this guy betting on games in which Shohei Ohtani pitched? Can you imagine?
I just know there's a lot of people panicking right now.
I would think there are. Yeah. I would think there's a lot of people very nervous about where this goes. So we'll follow it. By the way, it's not the only crazy baseball story going on today. Evan Drellich from The Athletic is going to join us at 6:30 to discuss. Brady Henderson's going to be in today. Shannon Dreyer's on the show today. And as I said, the woman who broke this story for ESPN is going to join us at 8 o'clock this morning. So stick around. We got a lot going on. It's Brock and Salk, CL Sports on 710CLSports.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
At Cantor Diamond, we're fourth generation diamond importers, saving you big on your diamonds. By appointment in our Tacoma office and globally by text and email, cantordiamond.com or on Instagram, K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond.
Mariners texts keep you one step ahead. Receive breaking news, exclusive offers, and so much more. Sign up in just seconds by texting Mariners to 24247. Again, just text the word Mariners to 24247 to stay up to date with all the latest from T-Mobile Park.
All right, listen up, Tacoma. It's Mike Salk here. Yes, thank you for listening. And also want to let you know that America's favorite barbecue is back. Famous Days Barbecue at Tacoma Place is reopening on Thursday, April 18th. Join the welcome back party, which starts at 11 a.m. with Famous Dave Anderson himself. Famous Dave is going to be there? Oh, my gosh. Photo ops, giveaways, and, of course, the classic queue. You know it. Digging into smoking starters like the traditional wings and handhelds like the Georgia chopped pork sandwich. Or maybe feed more or less with the all-American feast. A full slab of ribs, a whole country roast chicken, choice of Texas beef brisket, or the Georgia chopped pork, plus the creamy coleslaw, the famous fries, the Wilbur beans, the sweet corn, the cornbread muffins, the whole deal. It is served family style for 4 to 6 people. All right, come get that barbecue fix and meet Famous Dave, 1901 South 72nd Street in Tacoma. It starts April 18th at 11 a.m. And of course, they're still in Tukwila off South Center Parkway as well. Just go to famousdaves.com to learn more. That's famousdaves.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, it's always one of the best days on the sports calendar. March Madness returns today. At least it continues, I would say, now that the field is actually at 64, which is where it should be. Both Washington schools do play today, but neither until later. Zags will be 425 on TBS. Cougs have the last game of the night, 705 on the mythical True TV. So make sure you know how to find that ahead of time. They take on, Drake. Now, they've played before, but it's been a little while. Yeah, it's been since 1935. Wazoo won that game 28-27, so I think the country is hoping for a slightly more high-scoring game today. Kyle Smith, Cougar head coach, pretty happy about where his team's at.
Really excited to be here. It's been a wonderful season. Being a 7 seed, not having to completely sweat it out on the bubble was nice, but got a really good group that have really propelled this program over the last 3 years, making consecutive NITs and then finally graduating to where we're playing the NCAA. So really excited.
Yeah, as you should be. You can listen to the game actually right here on Seattle Sports. Pre-game will start at 6:30. Mariners game airs on 770 KTTH tonight. We'll get to them in a couple of minutes. No Huskies in the tournament, of course, and they are not only looking for a new head coach, but now a new athletic director after Troy Dannon shocked everyone by heading to Nebraska. He's going to make between $1.6 and $2.1 million a year during the six-year deal, $1 million signing bonus, and they're paying his buyout. The move, of course, though, has nothing to do with money, as he told King 5's Jake Garcia yesterday at the airport.
It was really a move back home, a family thing. You know, I've said it was very, very personal, and because I've loved everything about Washington. You know, my family's not here yet, and, you know, the chance to, you know, go to what is a great place. But it's really
how do you put those two sentences together with a straight face? I've loved everything about Washington. My family's not here yet. Well, you can't say those two things without even taking a breath in between. He didn't even put a comma in there or a dash. He just said them both together. What are you talking about? Anyway, he's off to Nebraska. The Huskies need an AD and a head basketball coach for the man.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, this does have the possibility of turning into one of the biggest and weirdest stories in a while. Dodgers have fired Ipe Mazahara, translator for Shohei Ohtani. That's where it all gets complicated. He's been placing all kinds of bets through sketchy bookie in California, where that's not legal. Ohtani's also wired him $4.5 million. But what we don't know is if the money was stolen, as Ohtani's lawyers are now claiming, if he covered the debts for his friend, or if the bets were actually placed by Ipe for Ohtani. $4.5 million? I gotta tell you, that last scenario sure seems the most likely. Tisha Thompson on this for ESPN. She's gonna join us at 8 o'clock this morning. Here's what she said. This is where it started.
We had documents and sourcing that indicated that Shohei Ohtani's name was on bank statements, bank documents, specifically wire transfers that were going and had been received by a bookmaking operation in Southern California that sources had told us was under federal investigation. So we reached out to Ohtani's spokespeople and were eventually told that it was his interpreter, his best friend, some people have described him, Ipe Mizuhara, who had been taking on the gambling debts, that he had been placing the bets himself.
Mm-hmm. Continues from there. And what do they do now?
His attorneys, Ohtani's attorney said, we're turning the report of a massive theft to the authorities. We're trying to figure out who are those authorities. A source with knowledge of what's happening right now says it's complicated in part because so many people are in Korea right now, including Dodgers staff, Ohtani's people, and most importantly, Ohtani and Mizuhara himself.
How would you like to be one of the, you know, employee, work, you know, president, GM, assistant GM, anybody connected to Dodger management, PR staff, etc.? You're in Korea, you're dealing with that, and this comes up as something that's like now the biggest story around. I can't imagine what they are going through. In any event, you're turning it over to the authorities? You better be right that that money is stolen if you're turning it over to the authorities, because, you know, they're going to investigate pretty thoroughly. And if it turns out that you aren't as covered as you think you are, this could be an even bigger deal than we think. Anyway, Mariners will get back to it today. After a day off yesterday, a rare 6:40 evening game against the Reds. As I mentioned, that one will be on 770 KTTH.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Yeah, just quickly, Seahawks make a couple of their deals official yesterday. They'd already been reported, but Jonathan Hankins and Rayshon Jenkins both actually signed their contracts yesterday. They were both announced by the team. We're going to spend a lot more time on this later today as Brady Henderson will join us from 7 to 9 o'clock. That's everything you need to know, quarter past every hour here in the Brock and Salk Show. Hey, one last little note on the Reds, because it's just made me think of it. I know that there's like this feeling of, oh, the Mariners lose every deal and there's the worst luck, right? Everything that comes here turns to dust. It's the worst. Just think for a moment about the Luis Castillo trade as of right now and today in a snapshot. Castillo's going to make his second straight opening day start for the Mariners. He's been one of the second straight opening day start for the Mariners.
I thought it was third.
No, third season here, right? But he was traded for 2 years ago.
Oh, you're right. Yep.
He has been, since that trade, one of the best pitchers in baseball and is among the favorites for the American League Cy Young. He's been everything you'd want him more and signed a long-term deal. The three players traded for him, none of the three of them will start the year. Brandon Williamson, injured. Arroyo, announced yesterday, going to need surgery on his shoulder. And, of course, the third guy, Noelvi Marte. Yeah, he's suspended half the year for steroids, performance-enhancing drugs. So, yeah, I would say that as of right now today in a snapshot, Mariners look pretty darn good in that trade. I know that sometimes we give them grief when they lose some of these, but that one looks really, really, really good as of this morning. All right. I should tell you guys that they talk about that opening day start. Opening day is right around the corner, and we want to send one of you guys and three of your friends to the game. All you got to do is open the Seattle Sports app and click the Win tab to find out how. If you don't already have the app, it's really easy to get. Just text APP, A-P-P, to 866-979-3776, and we'll just send you a link to download it. We'll do it right now. Don't miss out on your chance to join the fun on opening day. The contest runs through Sunday, March 24th. Justin, are you responsible for sending out that link to everybody who texts in app? Is that your job?
Individually.
Yep, Justin will do it individually. So he'll be hustling back there. If you text APP, A-P-P, to 866-979-3776, Justin will get that out to you immediately. All right, in addition to the Shohei story, which I told you has the potential to just be massive, there's another story brewing in Major League Baseball that could, and it may take years for it to develop, but it may end up being even bigger than the Shohei story. So I want to talk to Evan Drellich about it next. He's going to join us coming up. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
You're free now, free to stream beyond your wildest dreams, free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber, your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
The Museum of Pop Culture, Seattle's destination museum for music, film, fashion, and gaming, has savings just for Washington residents in May. See MoPop's newest exhibition, Massive, The Power of Pop Culture. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
Cantor Diamond, truly the best diamond prices, saving you big on your next special diamond. By appointment in our Tacoma showroom or globally by phone or email, cantordiamond.com or on Instagram at K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond.
All right, listen up, Tacoma. It's Mike Salk here. Yes, thank you for listening. And also want to let you know that America's favorite barbecue is back. Famous Days Barbecue at Tacoma Place is reopening on Thursday, April 18th. Join the welcome back party, which starts at 11 a.m. with Famous Dave Anderson himself. Famous Dave is going to be there? Oh, my gosh. Photo ops, giveaways, and, of course, the classic cue. You know it. Digging into smoking starters like the traditional wings and handhelds like the Georgia chopped pork sandwich. Or maybe feed more or less with the all-American feast. A full slab of ribs, a whole country roast chicken, choice of Texas beef brisket, or the Georgia chopped pork, plus the creamy coleslaw, the famous fries, the Wilbur beans, the sweet corn, the cornbread muffins, the whole deal. It is served family style for 4 to 6 people. All right, come get that barbecue fix and meet Famous Dave, 1901 South 72nd Street in Tacoma. It starts April 18th at 11 a.m. And of course, they're still in Tukwila off South Center Parkway as well. Just go to famousdaves.com to learn more. That's famousdaves.com.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Weekdays 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
There's all kinds of drama in baseball, man. Especially this morning as you look through it. So, top of the ninth in Seoul, South Korea. Padres now up 12-11 over the Dodgers. Shohei Ohtani is 1-for-5 in that game. He's like the only person who doesn't have two or three hits. I can imagine there's a lot on his mind. Maybe he's not quite as focused as he normally would be. I know that I would certainly have that problem if I were in his shoes. We've got the Shohei Ohtani story going on with his interpreter. And then I'm telling you, I think eventually this story may even top that one in terms of how large it could be. And Evan Drellick's been covering it here for The Athletic. Evan takes a few minutes to join us. And Evan, I want to talk to you about what's going on inside the Players Association. It's not always a sexy beat when you're covering the players union, especially when it's not negotiation time. But it sure seems like there's a lot of drama there right now.
I have been following baseball labor, I guess, for more than a decade. I always cared about it when I was even a beat writer covering teams. And I've been covering it as a beat for half a decade. I don't think there's been a crazier moment. I mean, this is baseball politics, and you have a young former MLBPA lawyer and a bunch of backers behind him basically trying to overthrow the number two at the union, if not both Tony Clark and that second in command, Bruce Meyer, who's the lead negotiator for the players during the last round of bargaining. So it's a wild thing. You know, 2 years from now, in early 2026, the players are going to be negotiating with the owners over the next CBA, and there will, I promise you, there will be another lockout. Yes. At the end of 2026, and it's just a wild time.
I was saying, what was it, yesterday, 2 days ago on the show, and it wasn't even necessarily just because of this story, although, you know, when you note the billion-dollar decrease in free agent money, obviously that's been a big part of the conversation. I was saying the other day that I think not only will there be a labor stoppage, but that it will be maybe the longest in history, and that the owners will not stop until there is a salary cap in place akin to what they do in the NFL, because baseball's revenue model is toast. This RSN thing, I think, is just absolutely gigantic in terms of how it changes the way the owners are making money. And if they're not making as much as they used to, where's that money going to come from if it's not from the players?
Yeah, it's the largest looming question is how big of a fight will it be? Is it just another off-season lockout, or do we actually miss games? Is it the nuclear option? I promise you there will be a lot of people saying it will be the nuclear option. And frankly, that was the case last time. The TV stuff is a new wrinkle. The RSN model is not what it used to be. It's not driving as much money. The problem there is, A, it's a large market, small market divide between owners. And that is the classic thing that has always undermined owners. And you're not going to weather a year-long lockout if owners aren't all on the same page. Now, if they all get on the same page and say, okay, and the Yankees are going to stand with you know, the Twins and all that, you still have a large question of, do you want to miss $12 billion in revenue? You know, this isn't 1994 in terms of just how much money is coming into the sport. Even if you're getting less money in TV revenue, how many years do you have to play to make up what a lost season or even more would be? You know, yeah, would they love a cap? Sure. They might like the $12 billion in revenue better. And so I am skeptical that the tough talk, and there's going to be a lot of it, I promise, a lot of it. I just don't know that when push comes to shove, either side is really going to take up the fight for that long.
So why then is the union doing, or the players doing, what they're doing now? What is the crux of the desire for this change at the top?
There's a lot of things going on. The current union leadership, Tony Clark, has been perceived by agents who are not Scott Boras to be favored, to show favoritism to Scott Boras. Whether this is true is a longer and complicated discussion, but it's a perception that exists. And so there's a group of players, a group of agents, who have just long not liked the current leadership of the union. You have the dip in spending this winter, which some of that's out of the players' control. Some of that is the way the teams are behaving. But that's coming, you know, at a time when people's knives were already sharpened. And, you know, there's an irony to it that the players probably did better last round of bargaining than they had in a decade. You know, the previous two deals were bad for the players. And you have a lot of players saying, well, you know, there's a lot of other things we want, and we want, you know, we want more than we have right now. It just strikes me as a little strange, though, because if you want more when it comes to labor relations, there's only one choice. It is to fight. And the one thing the players weren't willing to do last time is fight. The thing they could do is decide, okay, we'll take a salary cap, raise the minimum salaries, you know, screw the top of the best of the best. I don't care if Shohei Ohtani can't make $700 million. I want to get more money to the rank and file. Mm. And that is the thing Major League Baseball's owners have wanted for all time.
Well, and I think it's interesting, we haven't even talked this part about it yet, that the guy who is going to, you know, who's sort of leading this deal, the 33-year-old guy, Marino, he was the minor leaguer guy, right? He's the one who got all the minor leaguers into the union. So if it's the minor leaguers and maybe some of the rank and file that you mentioned, would they be more open to a cap? Like, is that where this coup, for lack of a better word, is coming from, those groups of players?
Yeah, and look, I don't know that a cap would come right away. It's just not exactly clear what the bargaining strategy would be if Harry's group takes over. But yeah, Harry Marino is a young, smart, ambitious guy who organized the minor leaguers at this nonprofit, and then the MLBPA decided, okay, we'll represent the minor leaguers. This was a big drama, and the union took them in. And when they did that, Marino came over to the union, and so he was on the inside when the minor leaguers and MLB negotiated their first CBA. They have a separate collective bargaining agreement from the major leaguers. And Marino was leading that along with the guy who he and some others are now trying to push out, Bruce Meyer. And so he does have deep connections. He's a politician. I don't even mean that pejoratively. He's someone who is very good at rallying support, at espousing a vision. And you know, look, the MLBPA doesn't have the best communication. Could you imagine things being better inside there? Absolutely. But it is nonetheless a wild thing to see a former lawyer for the union at the forefront of what is now basically becoming public campaigning. It's out in the open now to take over, or at least to push out some or all of the leadership.
Pretty crazy. And, you know, again, this story is happening now, but probably won't really play out in the public eye for another couple of years, as you said. Well, I got you. And I know you're not following this story closely because obviously you're working on the union deal. The Shohei story is nuts. And we're just kind of talking about it this morning. What do you think is going on inside, like, the baseball front office? Not the Dodgers front office necessarily, but inside the league offices, as they have to react to this as well.
Yeah, I Shohei Ohtani, there was some outlet the other day or some place that tracks this stuff said he was making $65 million off the field in sponsorship revenue. And I think the next closest baseball player, it's not even close, right? Whatever that gap is, it is massive. Ohtani is by far your brightest and shining star. He's got international appeal. And, you know, the commissioner's office and even this Department of Investigations, they care about PR. And the last thing on earth they're going to want to do is be in a spot where they have to, A, question him publicly, where there's even an investigation. They don't want that. And B, if somehow it ended up being the case, discipline him, right? And there's no indication at this point at all that that's where this would be headed. But anything that imperils Shohei Ohtani is not something the commissioner's office likes.
No kidding. He's like the cash cow in the game. Unbelievable. And just kind of following this story today has been nuts. Well, all of that going on while the Padres and Dodgers are playing a barn burner in Seoul, South Korea this morning. It's 15-11 now as Machado hit a big 3-run home run in the ninth to put the Padres up. What looks like is probably going to do it. Evan, thanks for taking some time with me this morning. I'm fascinated by this stuff. I can't wait to see where all of this goes. We appreciate it. Thanks, man. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, there you go. There's Evan Drellick from The Athletic. He is a worthwhile follow on Twitter, X, and everywhere else, and read his stuff because he is, as he said, been following the labor deals for the better part of a decade here. And I do think it's fascinating, right? I said to you guys the other day, I think there's going to be a massive lockout in baseball. And he threw a little cold water on that. I totally get it. But the fact that this guy who's kind of leading the Palace coup is the representative of the young players, the minor leaguers who he organized and got into the union, and the rank and file, not the guys who've already hit free agency, the guys who are pre-arb, right? So the guys who are in their first 3 to 6 years and are not making a ton of money yet. He's their darling. Well, it would be very interesting if they are all of a sudden the power base inside the union, because they have very different needs and desires than the veterans who have already kind of gone through that and are ready to make their money. The veterans want there to be as much free agency money spent as possible, bar none. That's it. That's the goal. I worked my 6 years of pre-arb and arbitration, and now finally I get to hit the market. I want to get paid, bring, you know, open the coffers. But for everybody else, they don't want all that money to go to the big superstars and the guys who have made it. They want some of it now. They want to be taken care of. Hey, I'm going to play 2-3 years in the league. I want to make sure I make enough money to feed my family for the rest of my life in case I get cut, in case I don't make it, in case I don't make it to free agency.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So if that group, which, by the way, is larger, especially now with the minor leaguers in there, that group might be willing to accept a salary cap and a salary floor if it means that it changes the six-year system and either allows them to get to free agency earlier or raises the amount of money significantly that you can get in those early years. So it's a fascinating story. As I said, it's not going to play out for a couple of years, but follow it, because it is a big, big deal.
But in any of these major, major changes like that, is there a period where things get way worse before they get what they want? I know that you mentioned, obviously, the lockout, the strike, whatever
sure
the term is going to be.
Wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, so really, really messy story. We'll continue to follow it, and it'll be a few years before it plays its way out. But I had an opportunity to chat with Evan this morning and wanted to take it, because that's going on while the Shohei story is going on. I mean, it's like all of this happening as baseball opens its season in Seoul, South Korea. Pretty crazy. And we will talk to the woman at ESPN who's on the Shohei story. We're going to do that at 8 o'clock this morning. Her name is Tisha Thompson, investigative reporter, and we'll kind of get back into the story with her then. In the meantime, the Mariners are getting ready to open their season in just, what, a week? Week from today is opening day. And yeah, there's a lot going on there as well. And not just the food, although at some point I do want to talk about some of the food options. Because the double Mitchwich, I'm pretty into. I'm pretty into the double Mitchwich. And not just the name, not just the fact that they worked with both Mitches to create this to their liking, but the pork side, the chicken side, it's a pretty interesting sandwich.
And some
sandwich.
Of the money goes to Seattle Children's Hospital.
It does? I didn't even read it. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Go to Seattle Children's, yep.
Even better.
Yep.
Oh, double Mitchwich me, for sure. I'm in on a double Mitchwich on opening evening, a week from today.
Well, I was going to say, I'm going to try to get one, I hope, and I hope I'm not screwing this up, on Sunday.
Oh, on Sunday. I thought you were going to try to get one delivered here.
No, maybe I can work on that, too. But no,
I mean, maybe
no.
You could see if you could work some of your contacts at the Mariners, if you get a double Mitchwich. I don't know. Would that be a problem?
Sunday's the opening week warm-up, so this is where a lot of those first tries to get some of these new food options.
Okay, well, that's fine if you want to be selfish and just sort of have it for yourself, but there are other people here who some of us might want to double Mitchwich. I can't go there on Sunday. I got things to do. I'm a married man with kids.
Kids can
Justin.
Come.
I'm not bringing my kids
both
to that.
Both your kids will be free.
My kids are going to be in Bainbridge. I have to go collect them.
So
it's a whole thing.
Right off the ferry?
Justin, stop it. Bring me a Mitchwich. Bring me a double Mitchwich.
They get to meet Lazaro Montez.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that changes everything, though. My kids would be desperate to meet Laz Montez. All right. So Justin Hollander on yesterday with Wyman and Bob, and there's some pretty interesting things here as well. So we were talking about the baseball union and what they're up to. Remember, the NFL Players Union, the NFLPA, has been the one conducting that survey the last few years to see which ownership group is doing what, which teams are good at what, who's treating the players best, et cetera. And credit to Justin Hollander, Mariners general manager, because he's trying to use that for his own benefit in baseball with the Mariners.
The last 2 years when the NFLPA has done that, I've read through every single survey for every team, just trying to find things that maybe somebody does that we don't do that we we could do. I give a ton of credit to Jack Mossman, who's our vice president of Major League Operations. Our guys travel great. We understand we travel more than anybody. This year we don't, only because the Dodgers and Padres go to Korea. We travel a lot, and I think we travel well. We provide our players with a lot of options, both from like a high performance end and just from a comfort end. Stay at nice places, obviously. We travel the night before if we have an off day to give our guys a day to acclimate. We do a lot of things on the road to make sure that the experience is as good as it can be. And there's areas we would like to continue to get better with family rooms and things like that at home to make sure that the experience for the player and their family, they feel good about it every day. I think that's, you know, when you just circling back, when you talk about things that can help draw a player to an environment, that's one of them. You know, when they feel like them and their family are treated well, that's a big deal. And it's something we've really focused on the last, you know, 4 or 5 years.
We have not spent a ton of time on this show talking about Justin Hollander. He's general manager, right? He's under Jerry DePoto. And I guess I've mentioned a few times kind of how their relationship works. Jerry now is the president, does a lot of managing up while Justin does a lot of managing down, right? Jerry manages up and out, and Justin manages a lot of the gigantic number of people that work in a baseball operations group. I know there's sort of a perception of like two guys are just sort of making all the decisions whenever they want. That's just not the way it works. You've got dozens, if not hundreds, of people that roll up to Jerry and Justin. And so it's really, really important to have enough management experience. And Justin is a really kind, gentle human. And in addition to being brilliant. And so when you put those things together, I'm not surprised to hear him talk this way. Hey, what can I do? We know that we've got a problem. This has been sort of a Mariner issue, right? Hey, they travel more than anybody. Okay, what are we going to do about this? We can't travel less. We can't. I mean, they've tried working with Major League Baseball to alleviate some of the travel issues. They're not going away. So, all right, what can we do?
Right, well, this is turning your weakness into a strength thing?
Well, at the very least, not allowing it to define you.
To be a double weakness.
That's right, allowing it to be a fatal flaw. Is it going to be a weakness? Yes. The Mariners are always going to travel more than everybody. That's going to be a weakness. Nothing you can do about it. If you're doing a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, it's a weakness. So what can you do? You can't make it a strength, but can you mitigate it? Sure. And good on them for trying to do whatever they can, Justin, for thinking about this stuff, to try to mitigate one of those weaknesses. Smart guy. Caring guy. And I think that's one of the things that always comes up is Justin's relationships with agents, his relationships with players. He's a caring human. And I think that does tend to go a pretty long way. And maybe one of the reasons guys like a Mitch Haniger do return here as fondly and as excitedly as they do, because Justin's one of those people who really values the personal relationship style. And so good on him for thinking through some of these things. I mentioned earlier free agency and trades. Justin was saying that that is something that they look pretty long term on. It's not just, hey, this is what's in front of us right now.
It's really critical to understand the situations of all 29 other teams, because their context will determine who might be available and at what price point. So that's something we constantly pay attention to. I don't think we'd be doing our jobs if we weren't aware, at least anecdotally, what might be happening around the league 12 months, 24 months from now. And I would even say, like, dating back to when we had our rebuild, started our rebuild, you know, we had like a working board of players, both free agency and trade, that might be available. And Luis Castillo was actually one of those names that was up on the board. Like, given where the Reds were headed and, you know, the quality of pitcher we thought he was a player that we identified like years ahead of time as somebody that we would like to have.
I love that. And, you know, again, I know it sort of breaks perception. I think there is this came available, so we had to do it. Oh, this guy happened to be here, so we decided to sign him. And it does go back a lot longer. There is a lot more prep work that goes into it. I mentioned that Castillo deal earlier, and I will again. It's pretty crazy as you look at it today. Luis Castillo going to make his second straight opening day start, been one of the best pitchers in the league since he got here. The three players traded for him, none of them are going to start the year. Brandon Williamson injured. He's going to be on the IL. Edwin Arroyo was announced yesterday, one of the young position players. He's injured, going to have surgery, going to miss significant time. And then Noelvi Marte, who was sort of the centerpiece of that deal, well, 80-game suspension for PEDs. So right now the Mariners are looking pretty darn good in identifying Luis Castillo and giving up what they did to get him. Heading more into this year, I wanted to play this one for you because we've talked a lot about the starting pitching and how good that's looked. But there is another guy who was not at his best last year, right? We've talked about reasons the Mariners didn't make the playoffs. And I know it's easy, right? It's only the bad moves that they made in the offseason. It was Teo and Wong and this and that. And I just, yes, that was a part of it, but that's not the only thing. And one guy who was not at his best throughout the entirety of last year was Andrés Muñoz, who they were counting on in major situations. He was their highest leverage guy after Seawald. This year, looking a little bit better.
I think Mooney looks awesome, both physically, like how in shape he is, and also what's coming out of his hand right now. It's like midseason form, but Mooney definitely spent the winter. Last year, obviously had surgery on his foot and ankle and wasn't able to have a normal offseason. This year he did, and he came into camp like in midseason form. He looks awesome. I think he's moving a lot better. A lot of the stuff we do behind the scenes is showing he's moving more powerfully than he did last year. So really excited about where Mooney's at right now.
Yeah, that's really good news. They're going to need that because there is some uncertainty in this bullpen. I mean, there always is. Every bullpen has uncertainty, but there's a little bit of uncertainty in this bullpen right now. You got Brash and his injury issues, Santos with his injury issues. You've traded away Justin Topa. You've traded away, obviously, Paul Seawald, right? You're waiting to see if you get somebody who develops out of what they were calling the Steckenrider bucket, right? All the young players that were traded for or acquired in the offseason that they've made their little tweaks to, and waiting to see which of those guys develops into being something. Well, while you wait, you know what you really need is for Andrés Muñoz not to blow like three saves in the first 2 weeks of the season. So if
you I got to see him when we were out there, and I mean, he was hitting 100, 101, and it looked like he was
playing
not
catch.
Hardly even trying. Yeah.
Just spring training. Just feeling loose. Free and easy. He was free and easy. And remember, last year he wasn't. He was coming off of surgery and, perception that maybe he never fully got on track last year. Hopefully that's not the case for Brash and Santos over the course of this season. So great interview yesterday as Wyman and Bob wrapped up all of the great interviews that they did down in Peoria. That one was on tape, and they did an awesome job with Justin Hollander. Okay, speaking of opening day, let's not forget it's coming up here, and we want to send you and three of your friends to the game. All you got to do is open the Seattle Sports app and click the Win tab to find out how. If you don't already have the app, all you got to do is text APP, APP, to 866-979-3776, and we will send you a link to download it. Super easy. Do it right now. Don't miss out on your chance to join the fun at opening day. The contest runs through March 24th, so text APP, APP, to 866-979-3776. Brady Henderson is here. He's sipping his coffee in the other room. He's getting himself psyched up for two power hours here.
Yeah, I played his music intro when I got him from outside.
Oh,
I had
really?
A plane on my phone.
To try to get him awake.
His mind right.
It's weird to see Brady here as early, because he was here like 10 minutes ago. I played a lot of golf with Brady in the morning. I've never seen him arrive at a golf course more than a minute or so before his tee time. So seeing him arrive here early shows you he's taking this seriously. He's got something to say. He's got an opinion, and he's probably going to give it next on Brock and Salk.